This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.
Hi, and welcome to our Hall and Wilcox Smarter Law podcast. In this episode, we're discussing contract flexibility. My name is Scott Butler, and I'm a partner in our firm's dispute resolution practice, specialising in restructuring and insolvency. Today, I'm joined by Nicole Tumiati, a partner in Hall & Wilcox's corporate and commercial practice. Nicole works with large corporates and other businesses across many different industries, but has particular experience assisting clients in the food, beverage and agribusiness, professional services, manufacturing and logistics sectors. Both Nicole and I are members of Hall & Wilcox's restructuring and turnaround team, which focuses on assisting underperforming businesses to restructure their business affairs so that they can survive and thrive. Welcome, Nicole.
Thanks, Scott. Good to join you on today's podcast.
Great. Nicole, one of the things that we've been seeing put pressure on businesses across different industries over the last 18 months or so has been that they've been unable to pass on sharply rising input costs to their customers. And that has had severe consequences. Probably none more so than in the construction sector, where it's led to the collapse of many builders. And we've also seen it in the food and agribusiness sector, where increases in growing costs have not been able to be passed on in full to the large supermarket chains. And I guess they're just a few examples. And I think many business managers and owners have never had to deal with this high inflation we have at the moment. And they're simply not prepared for what happens when they get into a high inflation environment. Nicole, I mentioned that businesses were facing sharply rising costs, but there are many things out there which impact a business's ability to comply with its contractual obligations. So what are some of those, the key reasons that you have seen?
As you said, anything that increases the cost of inputs can impact a business's ability to comply with its contracts, particularly long-term contracts that lock in key terms such as price and volume for a significant period of time. You've mentioned inflation, but other reasons we're seeing include rising interest rates, labour shortages and increased labour costs, external events such as severe weather events, pandemic, war, political unrest and industrial disputes, supply chain issues, including scarcity of supply and availability of supply, and compliance costs associated with changing regulations. Often it's the cumulative impact of multiple factors that can put pressure on a business and its ability to comply with its contracts. And for some businesses, the impact is exacerbated by changing consumer habits and decreasing demand.
Thanks, Nicole. So I guess that many businesses, when they're contracting to supply or purchase goods or services, would be keen to lock in long contracts. But I guess that also comes with some risk, doesn't it?
Yes, that's correct. There's clearly a benefit with a longer term contract in terms of both your suppliers and your customers, as it allows you to plan and invest with greater certainty. But the risk is that if for some reason the contractual terms become no longer appropriate for current market conditions, you might need to revisit those terms. So thought needs to be given as to the contractual mechanisms which should be included in the contract to give the parties the ability to vary the contract to meet current market conditions. Although contract flexibility may mean different things depending on whether you are the supplier or the customer under the contract.
Yeah, that's right. I guess it depends which side of the equation you're on. And that really leads us to the topic of today's discussion, the issue of contract flexibility. Nicole, how can you introduce flexibility into contracts to allow the parties to respond to these changing conditions?
Well, there's a number of approaches that can be taken and a number of different clauses that can be built into the contracts. These will include things related to price adjustments. Yeah, whilst locking in a price gives certainty, there are some cases where it might be appropriate to include a mechanism where the price can be adjusted at particular times. Yeah, and there's different mechanisms that you can deploy. It might be something such as a CPI adjustment might be appropriate, adjustments that directly correlate to changes in the cost of supply, so the input costs, or you might want to build in a mechanism that allows for adjustments after, say, an annual review process by the parties. Although I'd make the point that whenever you're introducing any mechanism that relies on the agreement of the parties, you need to think about what happens to the contract if the parties can't agree. Does the status quo remain, or can either party terminate the contract? Another clause which can in effect operate as a price adjustment is what we call a most favoured nation or most favoured customer clause, which effectively imposes an obligation on a supplier to give the customer a price which is at least as low as the best price given to the other customers, you know, or another expression you might see is on no less favourable terms. Just need to be careful when you introduce clauses of that nature that you consider any trade practices law issues, you know, making sure that the arrangement doesn't constitute an anti-competitive agreement, nor does it constitute a misuse of market power. You know, similarly, you might look at volume requirements under the contract to consider whether or not an adjustment is appropriate to reflect changing demand for the product or services. Another clause that we generally recommend clients including their contracts are what's called force majeure clauses. And this is effectively a contractual mechanism that may relieve a party from having to perform their contractual obligations in circumstances where they're impacted by events that are outside their control. You know, examples are, you know, weather events, floods, fire, you know, COVID is a very recent example that we've seen, the impact of a pandemic, war, the war in Ukraine. I know we've got a lot of clients who have been impacted by that, and industrial disputes. You know, how you actually define what a force majeure event will be key. You know, some clauses we see are defined by limited examples where the parties actually list what a force majeure event is, and then some other will define a more force majeure event as any event outside the control of the parties. Another important consideration when looking at a force majeure clause is what happens if the force majeure event continues for an extended period of time? Does it get to a point where the parties can, one or more of the parties can terminate the contract? And although sometimes we don't think about termination rights as being related to flexibility in the contract, you know, the ability to get out of a contract can be an important right that sometimes needs to be built in to protect the parties. Now, you'd usually expect to see a termination right in the event that there's a breach. But what we're seeing is that clients are looking at a wider range of circumstances in which they might want the ability to terminate the contract. And that's often quite specific to the particular businesses involved. You know, for example, is there a material adverse change impacting a party? And, you know, this could be focused on trying to preempt a breach before it happens. So there might not actually be a breach of the contract, but, you know, if there's a significant change to a contractual counterparty that means the likelihood that party can comply with the contract is less, a party may want to include a termination right to reflect that. Also, parties sometimes want a termination right if their desire to continue with the contract changes because of some significant event to their business, you know, withdrawing from a certain market, closure of premises, you know, the sale of a particular part of their business. You know, another right that we've seen clients and counterparties seeking to introduce to build in flexibility is a requirement that counterparties' financials are sound. In other words, what we're saying is it's not simply enough that a company is solvent at the relevant time. They want comfort that the counterparties are going to be solvent for the full term of the contract.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. I guess it's also important to be aware that in some circumstances, a party may be restricted from exercising a right of termination once a contractual party has entered into certain insolvency or restructuring procedures. And that's under what we refer to as the ipso facto laws, which came into effect on the 1st of July, 2018, and apply to contracts where parties have gone into usually a voluntary administration and a receivership and in limited circumstances into a scheme of arrangement. Now, Nicole, can you tell us about some other clauses that go less to flexibility but are still important to consider?
Some other clauses that go less to flexibility but are also important to consider in the context of changing market conditions are using terms such as market standard or best market practice. These can evolve over time, increasingly as market conditions change. So you might want to consider defining what these terms mean to your contract, ensuring you've got adequate information and audit rights so you can properly monitor the performance of your contract and identify any potential issues. And also a clause that requires the contract to be read down to the extent it's contrary to law. You know, for example, there's upcoming changes to the unfair contract terms regime, which significantly expand the scope of those regulations, meaning that some clauses in contracts which were previously fine could now be problematic.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. That's very comprehensive. I guess my takeaway from that is that with some planning and a bit of forethought, a fair amount of flexibility can be built into most contracts, and that could be the difference between a contract becoming unprofitable or remaining profitable. But of course, there are some businesses whose pricing is also affected by regulation. And in some instances, we have seen those regulated prices just simply not keeping pace with increased costs. And one example of that that comes to mind is the electricity retailers that have not been able to pass on large increases in costs of wholesale electricity prices over the last 12 months to their customers because, you know, there's a maximum cap that an electricity retailer can charge customers for power, and that's only able to be adjusted on 1 July each year. And in fact, we have acted for a few electricity retailers who unfortunately have collapsed in the last month because of this, and they just simply couldn't survive until the new prices came into effect on 1 July, and they really only needed to survive another 3 or 4 weeks, but they just couldn't get there. Nicole, I think just to wrap things up, do you have a few final thoughts in conclusion?
Really, probably just to say that getting the balance right between certainty and flexibility, you know, it really depends on your perspective. And that will likely change depending on whether you're the customer or the supplier. We recommend also that you consider your contractual arrangements as a whole, and where appropriate, seek guidance from your advisors. You know, at Hall & Wilcox, we have a number of commercial lawyers with expertise in different industry sectors who can assist with reviewing and negotiating your commercial contracts. And if existing contracts are causing financial pressure, we have a really great restructuring and turnaround team with a number of lawyers who can help you through that.
Thanks, Nicole. And thanks, everybody, for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed today's episode, then rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.